Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome back to another episode of Strictly Geekly. I'm your host, Megan Matthews, and with me today is Kylie, my best friend, my manager of Let's Be Real.
Hey,
what's up? Oh, and also with me today is my wonderful, what should I call her, my co-captain thing, okay, to public relations. I can't do it without her. Lydia, hello, love. No, Lydia. Bueller?
Hello.
Okay.
Bueller.
Whatever. Okay. Well, actually, in the true fashion and nature of this fucking topic, okay, we're talking about Hogwarts, and clearly somebody's late to class, but us Ravenclaws are always on time, okay? Anyway.
10 points from her house.
Yeah, no, 20 points deducted from, she's got to be a Slytherin, right?
Well, yes.
She has to be. where the hell is she? Anyway, whatever. We're going to be talking about Harry Potter and the wonderful wizarding world that is all of that. Reason that I'm bringing this up is because there's some shit that's popping. Okay, we're starting right back up again. We got Cursed Child series is kind of be coming out. We got Fantastic Beast. We already have the first movie, and the books are out. Second movie's going to be coming up soon. So before we get going into that direction, Kylie, you do have some little information about Cursed Child, what the fuck that is?
I remember, whenever the books came out, I was obviously way younger because I was reading them as they were coming out. So I had to wait, you know, for the next book to come out. So then, you know, life happened and I had kids. And so now all my free time is
not devoted to reading.
Essentially. Right. So as much as I love to read, I have sadly not read The Cursed Child. But I have definitely read a bunch of reviews and just like a little bit of, you know, clips here and there, I guess gists of it. But it's supposed to be, I am actually super excited for the movie. I'm going to have to read the book before the movie comes out because then why I sadly haven't seen Fantastic Beasts either, because I want to read the book so badly. I'm such a book person. So
yeah,
I'm going to just bite the bullet.
I have learned that when it comes to like this whole book, okay, if I could talk right, okay, when it comes to book to movie, okay, I prefer to watch the movie first and then read the book because I take the movie to be like one really long fucking trailer for the book.
Right.
Because obviously not all the information is covered in there. So Cursed Child is actually the one that I've learned the least about because, you know, yeah, it's popped up here and there, and I've seen the book in passing on Barnes & Noble, and I refrain because the reason I'm in Barnes & Noble is to get some other stuff, not that stuff, and I cannot justify paying for it if I know that I can't sit down and read it, and it's going to piss me off that I can't read it, and it's just a vicious circle of just negativity. Who is the cursed child? What is this about? Me, allegedly.
But I think, Lydia, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, thought you were here. I just want to make sure.
I didn't know if it had answered yet or not.
No. So, okay, anyways, I just want to make sure you're here. Welcome, Lydia. So basically, Cursed Child is about Harry Potter's son, whom he names Albus. And basically, you know, his son is dealing with Harry Potter's past, with the legacy that he follows, you know, with not only the past, but also the present and what's coming for the future for, you know, himself. And it kind of picks up where Deathly Hallows leaves off, where Albus and I can't remember the name, because Hermione and Ron have a daughter together. And so, of course, Albus and their daughter, Rose, her name's Rose, they are going off to Hogwarts.
Okay, yeah.
And so that's where it starts off at. And I remember seeing that. I don't remember. I don't know if I watched, like, a little trailer. I don't remember where I watched that at. But I remember vividly watching it. And then I know Malfoy has a son there, of course, because, you know, what movie would it be without a Malfoy present?
His son's named
Scorpius.
Huckback Fuckboy. Oh, yes. That was
I love it.
But surprisingly enough, I think in the book that Harry Potter's son and Draco's son actually get along. I don't think it's something that
they're besties.
They kept. Yeah, I think so. I think that's something that might be a nice.
I think that would definitely be interesting to see.
Well, yeah, because basically what happened with that one is that, you know, Draco realized just what a fucking douchebag and coward. Big time. That was the one coward his father was. That even if it meant throwing his own son under the bus, his dad would do it to save his own skin. You know, so Draco realizing that and realizing that, you know, Harry is going to have his fucking back despite the differences that they have. You know, there's obviously the whole honor and respect thing going on there. So, it's really not that shocking to see that, you know, their sons are getting along.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so going off on this tangent, and Lydia, you said you watched the movies? Yeah. Okay. I don't speak robot. I have to brush up on that, on my Rosetta Stone.
Yeah, I think I need to read some of the newer books for sure, especially before the new Fantastic Beast comes out. Did you guys read that one?
No, because Kylie and I did not read those ones. But we did obviously read the book, the Harry Potter series, back multiple times, like completely over-obsessed fangirls with a really bad habit. Anyways, the thing about it is, I want to ask, why is Harry Potter so fucking addicting? Why does it categorize as a controlled substance? And I don't think I'm exaggerating here.
I think it literally has to do with, like, I mean, when it came out, we were around the age that the kids were in the book. And then on top of that, the whole magical aspect and, like, waiting literally to get our own letter for Hogwarts.
Yeah, but why is that important? I mean, how many books have we read that are of a fantasy scale, that are, you know, whimsical and whatnot, but nothing ever really comes close to how Harry Potter is. It's like its own entity, its own person. It's almost like, you know, yeah, I've met a lot of people in my life, but I ain't never going to meet another Kylie and Lydia. You know, it's almost like it's on that scale of Harry Potter's its own thing. You know, you can't even put it in with fantasy and whatever. Like, it almost doesn't belong. Like, Harry Potter should be its own category.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I think a lot of it had to do with it, you know, how he was placed with the Dursleys. And I think a lot of people that age, you know, especially myself, could kind of see what that life was. You know, I think it was like an escape for a lot of people. And, you know, it's something that it was, it, you know, it, yes, it was fantasy, but it was almost real, too. Like, it was real enough to be like, wow. It wasn't
like
so far out there.
Like, one of those things that, it, you know, it could have been me. So I'm going to put
absolutely.
You on a little trip here.
Okay,
here's something that's trippy. So there was a couple studies done. Of course, anytime there's a huge fan base that gets to be really popular really quick and it's, you know, almost to the obsessive point, somebody's always going to study it. Why? Why? Why is this happening? Okay, so one of the things that I found is that back in the 90s, there was a high spike of domestic abuse in the homes. Whether it be mom and dad fighting, whether it be the child itself going through domestic violence or somebody that they know is going through domestic violence. And then on top of that with, you know, there was also huge financial issues going on under Clinton's term. And then it all kind of skyrocketed again. And it seemed like it followed that trend of, you know, we're not exactly rich. We're not exactly poor, but it literally appealed to the black sheep of the family.
Right.
So basically, if you are the elder sibling who is varsity soccer and you got all these things going on, you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, chances are that you think Harry Potter is, I mean, I watch his movies, but it's all right. But if you are from, you know, 1993, Jesus of Suburbia, fucking, you know, you got a Suzuki in the fucking front yard, and, you know, your parents really don't notice you unless it comes time to do chores and then yell at you for it, you know, that is Harry Potter's the shit.
Yeah.
Because of that relatable content. So I found that to be really interesting because it's almost like you can tell a lot about a person depending on their passion and love for certain genres and fandoms. Based on the content.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Riley.
I was going to say, I don't even think that, you know, I think a lot of it had to do with when it did drop, you know, in that genre of, you know, the 90s, because had say it dropped today, you know, let's say going from the past to present today, there had never been Harry Potter and it came out tomorrow, I don't even know if it would be as big as it absolutely is now just because of the genre that we're in right now. You know, I know it's held its ground and it's still even, you know, it's bigger than it was and it just continues to grow, you know, the Harry Potter fan base and things like that. But I just think that, you know, it was a great time to release it when she did because there was nothing really like it, like Iggy, you know, said earlier. It kind of was on its own, you know, base.
It had
there
own
was
level.
Nothing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, you start off with characters that, you know, J.K. Rowling is one of the few authors that absolutely gets me to behave exactly how she wanted me to. Okay, you know how certain authors, they write and you can see where they're going with this. And you can see what they were trying to do, like they wanted you to kind of dislike this person. And I'm the type of person that I'm like, well, before I dislike this character, you know, was he wrong for being a douchebag in that scenario? Like, not really, could have gone about it a different way, but I don't blame him for it. J.K. Rowling is really good about, you know, if there's four characters and three of those she wants you to hate, you're going to hate them.
Yeah.
You're going to hate
them.
You know, and she wrote them down perfectly because you have Petunia, fucking bitch, okay, and fucking Dudley, fat piece of
Dudley.
Shit. And then you got Uncle Vernon.
Vernon, yep.
Okay, who's also another fucking douchebag, all right, and, you know, and I don't even know these people, but I know these people. And they're assholes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. it's like a whole new level of Facebook stuffing, but, like...
That's what I was just thinking about. I was like, this is, like, Facebook porn. But, like, in a book.
Advanced stalking.
Yeah.
It's like that trippy-ass theory that, like, what if every book written out there is actually based on real people with real situations, just in an alternate reality? And I'm like, that really fucks with me because what kind of book is out there about me?
Right.
That would be
something
like,
Oh my gosh.
You have me now. It's like philosophy. You have me thinking in ways that I wouldn't stop before.
I'm
and
so
I'm
sorry.
I think I need a couple shots first, and then we can have this discussion again.
I'm so sorry. But seriously, no, because I got
like,
so into it. I got so into Harry Potter. I got way too into it. Like, I would be sitting in my closet knowing damn well I have to be up tomorrow at 5 in the morning. I have to be up at 4 in the morning because I have to be at the natatorium at 5 to practice from 5 till 7, and then I got to do schoolwork, and then I got to go practice again, then I got to do homework and shower, and my bitch ass goes to read a fucking book in my closet.
And then, any break in school you had, you were reading even more.
I was reading during class.
My parents got to the point where they took the book away from me. Like, that was the punishment at home. Okay, when I wasn't listening, you didn't do your chores. Okay, give me the goddamn book. I literally would, tear in half.
I would cry.
Give me the book.
Not the Harry Potter book.
Okay, and I would legit sneak down. I remember sneaking down the stairs into my father's office, trying to be so careful that a stupid goddamn door will always squeak. Okay, so I'm like, come on. Okay, if I do it really fast, it won't squeak that much, And I would go in there and try to sneak a couple pages, try to remember what page I was on, but still leave it marked to where my dad knew that I was, actually a chapter behind.
Right.
I can't even.
It was an addiction.
I think any
Absolutely.
Really good book is an addiction, and the Harry Potter series was definitely one of those.
It's for real. Oh.
It cut out for a second.
It did.
The silence has fallen.
I thought it was my phone. I was like, oh, boy.
No, I think it cut out. I was going to say, I think that is what sparked my love of just reading, period. Really, honestly, wasn't a big reader until they came out. And, I mean, since then, and it's great because it's the same way for my son, who's 10. I mean, he's obsessed with the Harry Potter books, and that just
mm-hmm.
makes my heart so happy,
Yep.
And
I can't wait
anything
to
else, he loves
enough.
To read.
Well, I mean, reading Harry Potter, I felt so lost every time I would finish reading the book and know that there was still, another 2 years before the next book dropped. When I read the final book, knowing damn well this is it, I literally savored it. I favored it, and then I had to remind myself I can always reread it, but that's still not good enough because this is it. So it was heartbroken, but it led me into things like, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, which Deadpool likes to make fun of. He can kiss my ass. Okay.
I love the book.
I enjoy the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, but it also, that's what it does. It just leads you down the path of reading even more books because that was such an enjoyable experience instead of it being a chore. Back when I was very little, why don't you go read a book? A fucking book.
Exactly.
God. So let's talk favorite characters. Let's try and seg into that one. Favorite characters. Harry Potter's not
Hermione. Around. Hermione. Mm.
So that's two Hermione. Is that what I'm hearing?
Hermione, I don't know how I feel about her. I have mixed feelings about Hermione.
Yeah, I don't
I feel
really
like,
care for her.
Me neither.
I like her, I wouldn't remove her from the story, I wouldn't remove her from the book, because I think that's part of the people that are in school. She's one of those.
Right.
But I wouldn't say she's my favorite. Go on. Tell me why.
No.
No, I definitely love Hermione. I love because I also, growing up, had ugly duckling syndrome, and I really just enjoyed her transformation.
Her glow up was real.
Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But her transformation wasn't quite so dramatic in the book as it was in the movie.
Right.
True, but I didn't read more than the first two books, so watching her in the movies is where I really got that sense of relation with her.
Okay. So you have a cinematic relationship with her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Kylie, you said you didn't care for her. Why?
The what?
You said you didn't care for her. Why?
I just feel like, I know she was, the one who was, okay, we can't do this because we're going to get in trouble. And it was like she was made out to be the one who was who had, like, the best interest at heart. But the, I feel like the way that she handled a lot of situations was just, like, in such a bitchy way. Like, and like I said, I know that she was made out to be the one character who was supposed to be, like, you know, the A-plus student, the one who, like, came from a Muggle family, you know, who had it so hard, and, you know, this was her, you know, escape to go to Hogwarts and have a, you know, great education and blah, 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 blah. I just feel like they made her character to be, and I guess I'm talking more so the books, because I feel like she wasn't as involved like that in the movies. They, you know, changed her character up a little bit for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like there was a better way. And then her transformation was just so, like, it was too much, I feel like. I don't know. I just.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah. Okay,
her defeating all odds from, you know, the Muggle family was also one of the things that I think drew me to her.
So I see where Kylie's coming from. And, you know, the transformation with Hermione was more in personality than it was looks, because she did have one major transformation, and it was the night of the dance.
Mm-hmm.
That's when she dressed up and whatever, and then the very next day she went, boom, right back to her typical style, and she just kind of stayed that way. She didn't really have too much of a physical transformation so much as she did have a personality transformation. She learned to stand up for herself. She learned to be, you know, to tone it down a little bit. And, you know, but the entire time, she's just that friend that, you know, she's a Samantha, okay? That's not safe. I'm like, all right, Killjoy, listen, can we just be reckless for 2 seconds? And it's like, absolutely fucking not. I will not allow it. And it's like, it, she almost steps into mom territory. Like, she's going to mom you into some bullshit. And which doesn't make sense, because when she talks about her parents and the few times that her parents are brought up, it implies that they're not like her at all. Like, she's just a Matilda, almost.
Well, she almost implies that they're, like, idiots, almost. Because I believe that they're... One of her parents is, like, a dentist or something, or some type of doctor of some sort. But she makes them out, like, or the plot makes them out to be, like, they're just complete idiots. And that she's above them on, you know, an intelligence level.
Yeah, and
I guess
maybe
you could see that more in the books, right?
You know, and maybe quite possibly it is, but also the wizarding world has a way of looking down on muggles to be idiots. So, you know, but it's still weird that it's something that she would adapt growing up muggle. So, I don't know. My favorite, I would have to say it's probably between Luna and Neville Longbottom. Neville just spoke to my fucking soul as being that fucking klutz, okay? That, you know, like, I promise you I am not an idiot. I don't know what's happening right now, and I just have this really bad strain of bad luck. But, of course, I was never quite that bad. And then you have Luna, who's, like, daydreaming always. But what I love most about her is she did not give a fuck what anybody thought of her.
Yep.
I'm fucking weird. Absolutely. Whatever. My dad's the fucking producer of the National Enquirer for the Wizarding World, so what the fuck ever. You know, she didn't care.
And she was so anti-Hermione, too. She would, like, Hermione would be around, she'd be like, whatever, anyways. Like, as if Hermione
shade.
Was not present.
Shade. Absolute shade.
Absolutely.
I think where I really started liking Luna was when she was talking to Harry Potter about, I forget what the beast's name was, but it was horse. And just how calm she was about it, and how only people who have seen death, you know, can see them. And I think that's where I really started enjoying her.
Yeah, it was like a leathery, like, dead horse type of thing. Because there was another, I think it was a school that wrote in on them.
A thestral. They're called thestrals.
There you go. Okay. And
it was visible to everybody else.
Right. Yes. You know, but You know, and she does it so, like, nonchalantly, like, yeah, I see them too. The only way that you can see those is if you see somebody dying. Yeah. Okay, bye.
What the fuck? No, come back here. What do you mean?
You know, but she, like, lures you in because, like, she's not the type of kid that you go and hang out with. She's that weird kid. Stay the fuck away from that kid. If anybody catches you talking to that kid, you're automatically gaining loser points. So stop it. But you can't help it because she, like, drops bombs like that and then walks the fuck away. Like,
crazy.
That was normal shit to say in a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can commiserate with that, given my own personal life, where I'm like, oh, okay, there's this information. And everybody's like, wait, what the fuck?
Uh-huh.
Oh, right. That's not normal shit to say. My bad. Okay, yeah, no, let me explain. But then we have least favorite character, and I want to hear the hatred. Least favorite character.
Favorite.
And we're staying with kids right now because we're going to transition into adults here in a minute. Just
okay, because I was about to say, I was like, you know what, that's a really hard one. Least favorite. Tom Riddle.
Tom Riddle, okay. I really did not hate Tom Riddle. I actually understood him. I didn't agree with him, but I definitely understood him. He's just that disturbed kid. And, you know, whatever. My least favorite was fucking Cho Chang. I hate that bitch. Harry Potter's first crush. Fucking hate her.
Oh.
I cannot stand her. Fuck her.
What are you, Kylie?
I fucking played him.
I don't know. I'm probably going to be... And I really was not a huge fan of Ron. I mean, I wouldn't say that I didn't hate him.
It's actually pretty popular. Yep.
Yeah, I just... he was so, like... I don't know. I think a big thing for me, you know, going back to just to touch back for a minute about Hermione, was that one of the reasons why she was my least favorite character was because, you know, she was always pining for Harry. And even though I don't like Ron as much, you know, he was all about Hermione. And in the end, they end up together. So it was kind of like, okay, I can't have Harry, so I'm just going to go with Ron.
Yes,
which,
for real.
But doesn't that happen in real life all the time?
She fucking settled. Okay?
Exactly.
And no, it doesn't fucking happen all the fucking time because I definitely did not settle. You know, like, I could, if I wanted to settle, trust me, the man that I would be with right now, my God, the entire world would hate him.
See, I don't know if he's so much. See, I didn't see it as her settling. I saw it as... she was just blind to Ron, and then it was like, and all of a sudden, it just popped for her. I didn't see it as her settling.
No. Fuck no. No, because she went out with the fucking French dude when the fucking Goblet of
Cedric.
Fire thing was going on. Okay, no, she didn't go out with Cedric. She went out with the fucking Aryan Nation dude. It starts with a K.
Oh, yes. The Quidditch player.
The guy from the other school, right?
Yes, okay? He kept pining after her. Pining.
Yep.
And she finally went, like, she gave it. She's like, okay, fine. And it's almost like she did it just to kind of see if she can get a reaction from Harry. Like, maybe this is the chance that I can have. And Harry did definitely notice her, but he was still, like, he was so caught up with Ginny, okay? So
absolutely.
And Cho. Ginny and Cho, okay? And then you have, you know, Ron, who fucking literally, like, jizzed in his pants when he saw her. Like, he was not ready. Okay, and I don't think, did he even take a date? I think he took one of the twins with him, so did Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did.
They split the twins with each other.
Right.
Okay, and fucking, like, the twins were fucking pissed off because they weren't getting any attention from them. And they're like, fuck these guys. And anyway, so basically she's still going, Harry, and then, the relationship between Harry and fucking Ginny starts to pop off, and then... as soon as Hermione goes, okay, well, there's really no chance, she starts to spend more time with Ron because the two of them, you know, what happens when your best friend all of a sudden gets a love interest, like, squad split up, okay?
Yeah.
So it seems like at that point, it's like, well, fuck it, you know, I guess this isn't so bad. She settled. She fucking settled because that's what was there. She knew that there was, you know, he might not be Mr. Fucking Perfect 10, but that's going to be the one that does right for her and loves her. So fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll keep him, you know.
And that was one of the that was one of the other things about, you know, why Ron was one of my least favorite characters, because though him and Harry are best friends, you know, him, Harry, and Hermione, you know, I feel like Harry's love for Ron was unconditional, but even though, you know, Ron did a couple selfless things for Harry, he was still always jealous of Harry. Like, and it was always, you know, he wanted that. And, you know, it wasn't good enough. He came from a poor family with all these siblings and, you know, could barely afford this. And even when Harry offered to give Ron, you know, X amount of dollars for, you know, this, and this, he was, no, you know. And his pride probably played, you know, a big part of that. But I just feel like the relationship wasn't as equally, you know, selfless on both of their parts as it was for Harry.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, and that all comes from, like, number one, being kids, number two, being by yourself, okay, because that's basically boarding school, okay? Most kids get to go to school and come home every day, okay?
Right.
But they're gone. That's independence. They're on their own, okay? They're kids, and then they got their background, what they know from that background and what they're slowly learning in that school about socializing and community and all this stuff, okay? So mix all of that together, and of course we're going to have some janky shit going on. You know, but as far as the friendship itself, it seems like that pans out more towards, like, when they're 17 years of age. You know, at that point, it seems like they're, like, you know, fuck the bullshit. You know, this is what we're dealing with. But, you know, we got our favorites and our least favorites among the kids, the tiny squad. Let's talk about big squad, okay? Big squad.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite?
Hagrid.
Really? I don't hear that too often. Why?
Because he was just kind of like a no-fucks-given type of person. Like, it didn't matter to him what he had to do. You know, and a big part of it for me was how he comes through to get Harry after them sending several letters to try and get Harry, you know, to be able to come to school. Here's your letter. Here's your letter. Here's your letter. Dursley's like, nope. They pack up. They go to that, you know, little cabin. And so Dumbledore is like, all right, let's send in, you know, the big guns. Hagrid just comes in, kicks the door down. Is like, his ass is coming with me. And I don't give a shit. And then also, you know, he puts a little pigtail on Dudley, which got bonus points in my book.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, yeah, but it was, I like, in specific, what stands out to me is Hagrid's man-to-man conversation with Vernon. Like, he alphaed the fuck out of that bullshit. But at the same time, if you flip that token, he ain't afraid to start crying in front of you.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I
don't
know.
And wisdom. Like, I don't understand. He just has all this wisdom. Like, I don't understand that. But he does.
He's a very childlike adult, too. You know.
No, I definitely love Hagrid. And I love how he puts everything else above himself, like down to, you know, the dragon, to the kids, like everything to him is put first. He's really selfless.
It's the way that he cares about the animals. Like, you got these fucking terrifying creatures, these dragons. He got, like, didn't he get burned by one of the dragons? He gave no fucks. He was like,
shit
happens, man. It's a fucking dragon.
And I think
it's my fault,
the
really. You know, but then, you know, because there was like that whole huge reveal on Hagrid that really blew my mind when you get to know his backstory about being a half giant and all these other giants, how they're not fucking okay with him.
Right.
And, you know, and seeing that story, that background story of Hagrid is, it's like, oh shit. So you're not big dick on campus. Ooh. You know, Lydia, what about you? Who's your favorite?
I would say my favorite. Okay, so before the last movie, my favorite was Dumbledore.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden you find out that, like, he's behind this huge conspiracy.
Oh, I was heartbroken. I was heartbroken.
But that's what's so great about Dumbledore is the fact that he keeps it real. Ah, I said it. I said it.
But,
okay.
But did he? Like, it was like he led Harry on so long, thinking he was on his side, and really, like, he wasn't.
Well, it's not just about that, okay? It's, if you look at it from Dumbledore's perspective, it's about the fact that it had nothing to do with Harry, okay? And if it did have something to do with Harry, you have no business to know, because your business right now is being a kid. That's all you got to do is be a kid and be in school. You know, so I can't really fault Dumbledore for anything, because, you know, it's almost like he's the dad. He's the dad
of all these children. Yeah. And it's for the greater good anyways. So mm-hmm. I understand, but that still, like,
picture.
he went from one of my favorites to, like, I don't know. That just, as much as I know that it was what was best, it still hurt my feelings.
Okay. All right. So let me put it to you in this perspective, okay? Because Dumbledore, he kept it professional. I mean, at the end of the day, he is still the headmaster of Hogwarts. Ultimately, when it comes to Harry Potter, that is what has to come first, okay? Never mind the drama and the bullshit. You are literally 11 years of age. Focus on your school. I got you. My job is to protect you. You don't need to worry about how I'm doing that. Same as a parent. I can sit here and fucking put my hand up and say that I have done some shiesty shit to protect my kids. I have done
Absolutely.
It, and I will do it again. And it's none of your fucking business what the hell I did. All you have to do is focus on being a kid and do what the fuck I asked you to do. That's it. Okay? So that's the perspective of Dumbledore. Now, as Harry Potter is growing up, Dumbledore does, in fact, reveal a little bit more, you know, age-appropriate shit. Okay?
Yeah.
The issue is you also have to take into consideration Harry Potter's personality, that he feels, you know, Harry Potter is impulsive. He is impulsive. He's got ego problems. He's got pride issues, just like any other motherfucking dude does. Anyways, and he wants to handle the book. I want to know about my mom and dad. I want to know this. I want to go there. I want to know. I want to defeat whoever the fuck Lord Voldemort is. Don't say that name. Why the fuck can I say that name? I don't. Okay, cool. You know, and it's like ignorance is bliss. You know, and Dumbledore does see that. You know, whereas Harry Potter doesn't see, I'm just a kid who doesn't really know much, you know, I don't really know shit about fuck that much. And Dumbledore actually does, you know, you find out the shiesty shit that happened, but it was, in fact, for the greater good, and he gave his life for the greater good. Okay, and then you come to find out that Severus also did the same fucking thing, that, you know, not everything you see is what it is. So, you know, I don't really judge either one of them. I mean, the only thing I judge Severus Snape is that he's a fucking cockbag. Like, you salty, salty, salty son of a bitch. Like, you did not have to be that way. You did not have to be quite that extreme, you know, for the simple reason that Harry Potter looked like fucking, you know, his dad.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that he was so fucking salty. That's it. You know, you look just like your dad, but you got the eyes of your mother.
And
okay?
He was in love with Lily.
Exactly.
So.
You know, so, and it sounds to me like, you know, and then it, on top of that, to find out that Harry Potter's dad was basically, you know, Draco Malfoy 2.0, you know, so it's.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I see where you're coming from, because if you haven't read the book and get the details and the dialogue that went through, and, you know, Dumbledore at one point tries to prove himself, like, no, I am telling you the truth. Here's the pensive. Here's my memory that you can dive into so you can see for yourself what the fuck actually went down. You know, so so you're saying that Dumbledore is your favorite. You're just disappointed in him.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say disappointed. It was a real shock. You know, I was not ready at all.
Okay.
I was not ready.
So, I would have to say that my favorite is fucking Tonks. Tonks is, like, if I could be put in a fucking book as a character, I feel like I would be Tonks.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
okay? Tonks, like, her entertaining the children at the dinner table by changing the features on her face, making herself look with the scratching. Stop it. Okay. Anyways, you know, she's, like, like fucking with the features in her face, changing her hair color, you know, just being complete goofball, but at the same time, she's a fucking badass because she's the equivalent of a CIA agent for the Wizarding World.
Yep.
You know, and she's just so chill. She's just, you know, kick back, relax, like, not a care in the world. Like, oh, you want me to fuck shit up? I'll fuck that up. No problem. Okay? You know, and then she falls in love with the werewolf. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's a werewolf, but because she's the only one that took the time to see his personality and fall in love with his personality, and then without sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chunk is my fucking favorite. I love her. I love her to pieces. And I literally cried like a baby when she died. And then she died next to Lupin. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had them next to each other and they were holding hands. I cried like a baby. Okay? Literally there. I'm sure that if I went back home and I pulled up my Harry Potter books, at those pages in particular, you would see like little wrinkle marks where my tears landed.
Yes.
Okay? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. So, least favorite Big Squad character?
Dolores Umbridge.
Fucking bitch. Fucking cunt. Bitch.
Seriously.
Asshole. And I'm pretty, like, okay. So, when reading the book, and they describe her voice, okay, she looks like a frog, and she's all squeaky voice. This is how I think that you sound like. So you are going to write me. You're going to write me. Oh my God. I fucking want to punch you in the face. I want to fucking dunk your face in acid and see if maybe that helps you look more attractive. That was graphic. I'm sorry. Okay. But still, anyways, Kylie, why do you hate her?
Why don't I hate her? I mean,
let's hear.
It all starts with the, you know, the sentences.
Yes.
What was it? I will not tell lies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't lying.
Right.
Like, don't they have the magic to know that he's not lying?
Yes.
That's what doesn't make sense to me.
No,
like,
the thing is that she did do that to him. She did do that to him. But she did it in a way like, oh, well, you know, like, she made sure that he drank the entire fucking tea. She's asking these questions, and she's like, well, somehow or another, you must have combated the bullshit and lied
exactly.
Anyway. So, you're still fucked.
Yeah.
I will not tell lies. And blood. And fucking blood.
Mm. And then all the new rules she was making. Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, she's the one that, you know, first, like, she went and sought forth to overthrow Dumbledore.
Uh-huh.
She's the one that pushed for that and then put herself in there. And so now her stupid fucking ugly-ass frog face gets to be in the fucking picture frame as one of the headmistresses of Hogwarts. And she doesn't deserve to be up there. Anyway.
She absolutely didn't.
All the magic, she couldn't have made herself more attractive. I'm just wondering.
She thought she was gorgeous. That's how cute she was. She thought she was gorgeous already, okay?
No, I have to absolutely agree. Like, she is my least favorite adult character, period. Like, I, not even reading the books, just watching the movies. Like, I have such a, like, dislike, hate for this woman. It's not even funny.
Oh, no. See, I would rather deal with Dolores Umbridge before I deal with Bellatrix Lestrange. Fuck that goddamn cunt.
Really?
She is a psycho. She is a fucking sociopath. That bitch, okay, like, not even Azkaban and Dementors. No, she's fucking, like, are you fucking kidding me right now? These are fighting words.
I secretly, honestly liked her. She was just
so
strange.
No. No, I swear to God, no, bitch, I know where you live, okay? Stop.
Like, it's
okay.
A good thing I'm doing my show over here right now, because I would be hurt.
Fuck you. No, no, okay? Hell no, okay?
I knew this was going to come up.
Okay?
I knew it.
No, this is why you need to read the fucking book, because the book has so much detail on what she did as a fucking kid.
Yes,
what she did
and that...
Serious. What she did to fuck, like, literally, she would be French kissing Dementors in Azkaban willingly. She is.
And that's the
psychotic.
Thing that I want to make sure, like, anybody who's listening who may be just, like, popping in, all of my opinions are being based solely on what I see in the movie. Period. And, yes, you're right. They don't have nearly as much detail. Now, had I read the books, based on the information I've heard so far already on the difference between the movie and the book, I would honestly say I probably would have a different opinion.
Well,
but
the thing is, like, there was a thing that was on the fucking book that blew my fucking mind that apparently, okay, because I think, what is it? Correct me if I am wrong. Sirius Black and Bellatrix Lestrange are related. They are siblings, correct?
I'm not
Or cousins. Something like that. They are related somehow, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 100% on that.
I
might Google
not,
that.
Neither am I, okay? But I know, okay? No, or is it fucking Draco, the Malfoy family? I don't fucking know, okay? All I know is that there's family members in here somewhere.
I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah, and I can hear the cat scratch fever.
Yeah, we can hear the...
Oh, cameo? I'm sorry. Okay, I won't do that again. I didn't know you could hear that.
Okay. But there was, like,
yes.
something. I had.
They
I
are read, cousins.
Okay, see? There you go.
Yes.
So they are related, okay? And I know Sirius Black hated his fucking mother. Hated her. Like, he actually kept the fucking, like, black veil over the picture because anytime that she saw any muggles or any whatever in her fucking house, she would start fucking screaming bloody fucking murder.
So like, she's related
Christ.
To both Black and Malfoy.
And Tom. Well, no, she's Tonks's aunt as well.
Mm-hmm. She's all over the place.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so this is like some fucking family bullshit. So basically what it was is that the spell Crucio was done on her as discipline at one point. Actually, at several points. And that was touched on briefly, like, oh, I heard that this happened, and I heard that happened. Like, literally, like, it was some... Like, I think, like, the Harry Potter crew was trying to make sense as to what the fuck is wrong with Bellatrix. And Sirius is over here like, trust me, you don't want to fucking know. Okay, she's fucked up six ways to fucking Sunday, you know. And they're like, okay, well, how hard could it be? And it's like, you know, and Sirius is like, don't fuck with her. Do not do that. She is not one to be taken lightly. She gives you a fuck. Okay, like, she does not play fair. She does not follow the rules. She will do anything just to torture you and then eventually kill you.
Absolutely.
Okay, and then on top of that, she is, like, completely infatuated with Voldemort. Like, that is her dream husband. That is the love of her life. Okay, so if that gives any account, like, and on top of that, she's constantly criticizing Malfoy, so that's the reason why he's always constantly, like, trying to prove himself, and then she's criticizing him over his son, who's a fucking pussy, to cheat on his son, and then Draco's over here trying to do arbitrary fucking impulsive bullshit that doesn't match, so it's obviously a giveaway, you know, so it's just a big-ass fucking mess of shit, but at the end, you know, where you see Bellatrix go batshit fucking crazy, and just start just throwing Crucio around, and she's laughing her fucking ass off. She doesn't care. So Harry Potter decides to turn around and do it back to her, and she acts like he just fucking turned a vibrator in her coochie on.
Yeah.
Okay, that fucked with me. That fucked with me. I'm like, bitch, I was a kid. Why would you do this? I was not ready. So, like, what is this? I didn't know what the fuck psychotic was. I didn't know what that was.
Bellatrix, like, you look it up, Bellatrix.
That's Bellatrix and Strange. That's who she was. That is.
Yes.
So, all right, now, here's a good one. Favorite teacher.
Ooh. That's so hard. I
know.
So I really liked,
Well, I have to say too, okay, because I really liked McGonagall, but I also really liked, as crazy as she was, Professor Trelawney, okay?
Oh, yeah.
She was, okay, she was so out of her goddamn mind. Like, it wasn't even funny, okay? But I really liked...
It was a little funny.
Well, it was very, very comical. But that, I think that's part of the reason why I liked her character so much, because obviously I like Luna, and Luna's so, you know, dreamy and airy and like...
Yeah, and of course, well, Luna and Trelawney made such a great fucking bond.
Yes, and that was one of the other things why I despise Umbridge so much, because she got Trelawney fired and kicked out of Hogwarts, where that, and, you know, Trelawney was such, in the book, she's like, I've been here for 16 years, like, what do I do? I don't know where to go, like, I don't know what to do from here, and literally, she just has this, like, Cheshire grin, like, I don't give a fuck what you do, goodbye, like, you're gone, you will not be allowed back on the grounds, you know, and then she tries to tangle with McGonagall. Please, please, tangle with McGonagall. I'll sit back and watch. Okay.
McGonagall is literally that mom. Like,
yes.
Let me set the stage, okay? Let's say it's you, me, and Lydia, okay? We are eight-year-old little girls, okay? Okay, McGonagall is that one mom that is like, we'll help you out. Yes, you guys can play. You can come over. You can play here. Do not put your shoes on my couch. Would you like a snack? Would you like some water? You may go upstairs. Do not make any noise. If I hear you downstairs, we are going to have problems. Okay? And then you see some mom, knock, 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 knock. Your daughter, excuse me, first of all, you're coming at me all wrong. She's that mom. Like, ooh.
Well, and there were so many times where she caught, you know, Harry and Hermione and Ron fucking up, and she disciplined them, like, she was stern and, like, curt and mommed them, but was still like, okay, go the fuck on, like, without actually...
She handled it privately.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, McGonagall is, like, I think, like, down the board. It's just everybody's, like, the way that she fucking introduced herself to the class like a fucking boss. First day of class. There's a cat sitting on the fucking desk. First day of class.
Everybody's like,
oh, well, fuck, man. We good, though. Like, the teacher ain't even here. We're good. We made it. Kablam. Here's your fucking teacher. I don't see. Okay,
we
so you
up.
And you and you and you and you are, we're all late. Fuck all of you. Okay, the rest of you, I'm your fucking teacher. Goddamn.
Well, in the way, there was many times where she handled, like, Draco and his little, like, henchmen. And where she was like, you know, basically so many points from Slytherin for being assholes, like, but 10 points to Gryffindor, you know, because you guys
you kept
dead.
Your fucking mouth shut.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's that arbitrary bullshit back and forth, okay? You never hear anything from Hufflepuff, ever.
No.
Ever. You never hear anything from Ravenclaw. I mean, you've heard a couple things here and there, okay, because Ravenclaw's notorious for talking back. Like, we keep our mouth shut up until a certain point, okay?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's always fucking Slytherin and Gryffindor, constantly fucking going back and forth. And then you got fucking Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff over here like, well, that's none of my fucking business. I'm going to just sip my tea, okay?
Right.
You know, okay, so Lydia, favorite professors?
I definitely liked McGonagall as well. I liked Snape as a teacher.
You like who?
Professor Snape.
As a teacher?
I don't think we're friends anymore. You can't sit with
us. Are you serious? Do you enjoy being institutionalized? Is that what the fuck
you're saying? You know what? It makes it hard because, like, you guys know so much more details and thoughts that are going through his head because you guys read the books. I'm literally
it doesn't matter.
It.
No. They did a good job at portraying him on the movie. That's why I'm still like, what the fuck?
I don't know. There was just something about him, and I think that
I would enjoy proving him wrong as a student if I was in Hogwarts. Maybe that's what it is. I have a problem
okay,
with authority.
Yeah, because apparently you like somebody who likes turn to page 394.
And then you sneeze, what? And he's like, 10 points from Gryffindor.
You clear your throat.
No, but I mean, when okay. it came down to it, he really did teach the kids a lot of the things that they needed for a lot of the real life events that happened in Harry Potter.
All right, fair enough. I can't argue that one because, yes, he did. He was, okay, as far as a teacher, yes. If we are talking
that's what
about,
I mean.
Like, the career itself, he did teach, like, I think there was a fucking, like, I want to say, like, it was either on the fourth or fifth book, somewhere around there where they go, you know, like, basically Snape and McGonagall are rivaling for top grades. Like, they
mm-hmm.
have the least amount of failures in their class.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and
we're talking strictly
Flitwick,
as a student, not all his, like, bullshit in between and meddling and
oh,
the...
Oh, I remember that word. Okay, when Umbridge took over, she was looking at all the fucking quotas, okay? She was looking at all of this. And McGonagall and Snape were basically neck and neck for the least amount of failures. So there was
mm-hmm.
pretty much every student they had was pretty much passing and learning all their shit. And then Flitwick got a fucking talking to from Umbridge about, like, hey, you got a pretty bad fail rate.
Yeah.
What the fuck is up with that? And then Trelawney as well. Like, you know, you don't even qualify as something to be, you know, relevant to be taught here. And then you have, you know, Defense Against the Dark Arts. But anyways, my favorite one, it has to be a toss-up between Mad-Eye Moody, okay, because the way that he taught the Defense Against Dark Arts, like, he gave no fuck.
The real
okay.
one
mm-hmm.
or the fake one?
The real one.
Okay.
The fucking real one. Okay? Not that fucking Wormwood bullshit.
Right.
So, the real one, he was just, like, fucking freaky as all hell, but, you know, you can tell he's been through. It's, like, basically getting, like, a fucking... like, Marine Corps boot camp drill instructor to fucking teach you Defense Against the Dark Arts. Like, I'm down. I got you. I'm going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've been through some shit, clearly. Okay, I'm not going to question it. If you say, you cut a bitch, I'm, you know, are you sure? Like, on the throat right now? Like, oh, okay.
You want to kill him? Cool.
Okay. And then the secondary option would have to be Lupin. Again, but then
yeah.
I already mentioned Lupin, but I feel like Lupin, though, was, like, he was just so caring, like, you can go and talk to him, and he'd be like, yeah, man, what's up? I'm not busy. Never mind the fact that he has, like, you know, 158 fucking papers to grade. Never mind that. What do you need? Talk to you about whatever the fuck you need. But I think that as far as a teacher, he was really passive and just kind of like, yeah, he taught you some stuff, but I wouldn't classify him as a Defense of the Dark Arts teacher, more like a substitute.
Yeah.
A substitute. He was that awesome substitute. But
yeah,
Mad-Eye Moody was by far, like, yes. Because whenever he got onto the battlefield, not only was he your professor of Defense Against the Dark Arts, when shit hit the fucking fan, you saw what the fuck he could do.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's the old man that comes out with a shotgun. Get on my lawn! You know,
the eye patch and everything.
Uh huh. And he got up, and you sure enough got the fuck off his lawn because you knew he was not playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, least favorite professors, and yes, absolutely, any of the Defense Against the Dark Arts, you can use. You know, whatever replacements they had.
I'm having a brain fart on what the professor, or what the guy's name was. It was that guy who stole all the memory out of the author.
Did he have a turban?
No. It was the, my goodness. I really can't remember his name right now. But he was trying to teach them things, and he really didn't know anything because everything was fake.
Oh,
like,
Godfrey.
Yes.
Yeah, he was all like, he was too Hollywood star to actually be a
yeah,
fucking
wait, Lockhart?
Teacher. Lockhart, my fucking God. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry.
Something.
Okay.
I have a picture of him in my head, and it's killing me because I couldn't remember what his name was.
Yeah, he's
but,
like blonde
okay.
and glamorous.
Yes,
I'm so
and like
sorry
fucking
that I
like
called
pretty
him Godfrey because I literally thought of the fucking actor that played the fucking parrot in fucking Aladdin. Okay, I'm so sorry. That's literally what he reminds me of. So go ahead. I'm so sorry.
But no, I hated him. Like obviously, I mean, all of his stuff was bullshit. He wasn't teaching the kids anything. The class was a disaster, and he really became a pain in the ass, you know, in the movie. Because he's supposed
he
to be, you know, a teacher
the
teaching
too.
These things, and then he literally became a burden on them instead.
Oh, he got shown the fuck up because basically what there was dueling going on. And Draco and Harry go head-to-head on a duel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that gets interrupted, and Lockhart steps up to the fucking plate, okay? And then Severus steps up to the plate. So now it's Lockhart and Severus having a duel. And Severus, like, fucks him up. And he didn't even touch him. All he did was manifest a snake. That's all he did. And Lockhart's like, oh my god, that's
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I couldn't handle him. As a character, he was like probably one of the most annoying people in the series.
Yeah, no, he was just like, we have a word for people like him. It's called stolen valor. Okay. For those of you who don't know what stolen valor is, that is when you put the uniform of somebody who's actually been in combat. And you've never actually been in combat or even served in the service at all. But you proclaim these stories and go, oh, my God, you know, it's so difficult for me because I've been to war and I, you know, I can't sleep because, you know, the people that I watch die, shape.
Yeah, no kidding.
And stuff like that, you know, so that's stolen valor. When you can, you know, when you talk about shit that you didn't actually do, but other people actually did do that. That's so valid. So, anyway, Shade, and I hope somebody's listening right now. did I also mention Shade? Because Shade. Anyway, sorry, right now.
Throw a little salt in that, Shade.
It's really, is it raining being. Salt right now? don't do stolen valor. You're a fucking douchebag. Nobody likes you. Stolen valor is bad, okay? Lockhart's a pretty good one. What about you, Kylie?
For least favorite professors?
Yes.
Oh. Let's see.
It's hard.
Well, Quirrell is a given. I mean, but I really wouldn't even consider him. I mean, I know he was a professor.
Of the dark arts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For the time. But, it's a given because of what he was doing, you know. Reached out to Voldemort and, you know, was doing all the shady shit and not really teaching anything at all. I don't know. It's a given. I feel like Quirrell's just a given. Because I other than, obviously, Umbridge, I really liked all the teachers. I feel like they had their own little, you know, quirks and ways that they did things.
Absolutely.
So.
I guess for me, Professor Flitwick got on my fucking nerves.
He was kind of an asshole.
Yes! Okay?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, Charles... They're not easy, okay? From what I'm not that I've been like, I'm not talking from personal experience, okay? Okay, I'm just saying. From what I fucking read, okay, that's just not fucking easy, okay? And he's just kind of like floating about in the fucking classroom, like just looping around in his little fucking cloud, just like, hey, I'm a little tiny midget and I'm a fucking asshole, but I have a smile on my face. And I'm overtly pleasant, and I'm really actually kind of condescending with you. You know, it seems to me like out of all the teachers, he's just someone that really taught you the least. And it's like, why are you still here? Is it just because nobody else is applying for the position, and you're just kind of like the guy?
Because he's just the one that I'm like, you tiny, annoying, fucking midget that's floating in the fucking ceiling. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. The only thing that saves him, the only thing that saves him in my book is he was the head of the Ravenclaw, house.
Yes.
I mean, he does have some redeeming qualities, but I agree.
Okay, but at the
Everybody
in Ravenclaw is also a condescending fucking floating up in the ceiling asshole, okay?
Now, I do want to say on a side note, though, like, how amazing is it that J.K. Rowling was able to, just in the way she wrote, we were able to know how difficult charms are to do.
Oh, absolutely. J.K. Rowling is literally, like, Lydia, did you know that J.K. Rowling came up with Harry Potter while she was on a train ride and she started writing on a fucking napkin, okay? If that's the only other person that I know that was great enough to do something like that was Abraham fucking Lincoln, okay? He did the Gettysburg Address. He wrote on a fucking napkin, okay? He's like, I don't know what the fuck. I'm the President of the United States, man. I'm supposed to give a fucking speech. I am so not prepared for this, all right? Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? I'm going to write it on this fucking napkin. I'm going to just come up with some bullshit. 4 scores and 7 years ago, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good, right? Margaret, does this look good?
Absolutely.
You know, and then you just fucking spill it out, okay? But J.K. Rowling kind of did the same thing, you know. She was, I think, like, she was on a train, and she was like, oh, my God, I have this wonderful idea. Let me stop at this cafe.
Yeah.
And just write it down. And then from there, it just kind of went. And then she decided to publish. Like, literally, there is a, her story is like, she literally was not going to publish this. She wasn't even going to do it. It literally took somebody else to talk her into it that read the shit that she wrote and go, you need to publish this.
Yeah.
This is good as fuck. Like, I want to know what's coming next. I need another book. So she finally went ahead and published it and kablam. Okay, but Rowling is literally that author that she has to submerge herself into. I don't know how. I'm not an author. I've written a couple things, but I'm like, that is fucking garbage. That's depressing as fuck, and it belongs in a shredder, okay? But for her, like, she has to, because I don't know how any way else to imagine it or to understand it, okay? But I'm assuming that she has to completely submerge herself into this fantasy world, almost like a drone camera that's looking around at everything, okay? And that pensive. Bullshit, like everything that she came up with, every name, every spell, every fucking like name and teacher and everything, like
each
the
class
detail,
and how
exactly,
work.
And how she put the details into it, okay, for her to describe it. Because the only reason I know that charms are difficult is because you're seeing the students fucking struggle with it. Like, okay, excuse me, this is fucking hard, you know, and. Whatever. Anyways, J.K. Rowling is literally one of the most descriptive, detailed authors that I know of. And I have read several books, several trilogies, continuation stories. I have read single books. I mean, the detail that is in this, in these saga is ridiculous. And I think, honestly, that's the reason why it's so addictive is because she puts so much detail in there that it makes it just impossible not to suck yourself into it. It's so
weird. Yeah, and you feel like you're in the story.
Exactly. Like, I am part of the squad that is Harry Potter. I'm just silent this whole time looking at the drama. Like, I mean,
exactly.
Certain
watching
situation,
it
like, fights between Harry, Hermione, and Ron, okay, I even felt awkward. Like, oh, my God, I'm going to sip my tea because it's none of my fucking business. I'm going to keep reading those.
That was me when Ron got the howler.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh, shit. I'm, like, reading it, and I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, oh, damn. Like, this is some savage stuff right here. Like,
yeah.
And I can just imagine, like, the way that she writes. I'm just imagining him. Like, before, obviously, you know, this is while I'm reading the book. So before the movies even come out, you know, I'm just imagining him, like, hunkered down, like, shoulders up, like, ears turning red to match, like, his red-ass hair. Like,
yeah.
everybody's staring at him and his face just on fire. Like, it's just, it's magic. Literally, pun intended,
oh,
magic.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely, yes. So we have just a few minutes left. I want to talk about Fantastic Beasts. I have seen the movie. I have not read the book. And I know there's another Fantastic Beasts coming out. And I will be reading the Cursed Child book because I'm going to find some time in my busy schedule to do this. But Fantastic Beasts, neither one of you have seen it, right?
I have seen it. I have not read it.
I have not seen it or read it.
Okay, excellent. Sadly. So Lydia and I got the fucking lead on this one because neither one of us have read it, but we have seen it, though. Okay.
We have seen it.
So excited to read the fucking book because the movie was fun as fuck. It was so fun.
I loved the movie. I loved how much thought had to go into all of the different creatures.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was completely.
This fucking poor kid. He's over here with a suitcase. Oh, he's got the Mary Poppins fucking suitcase. Okay, he's got an entire zoo in his fucking briefcase. Okay, and he's just trying to get through customs, which is, like, let's be real, it's exactly what's happening. Okay, he's trying to get through customs. Okay, and he's hoping that his fucking charms worked. Okay, and he goes, oh, okay, you don't see nothing? Okay, he didn't see nothing. Okay, cool, I'm good. And then
no, but my heart sank, though, when he switched suitcases. I could not.
No, okay, but on top of that, you have the girl, okay? Hold up, okay? Let's do this correctly, okay? Because Kylie, she ain't seen it, okay? So she needs to know a little bit of it. Spoiler.
Cover your ears.
Okay, so I'm going to do, like, the quickest fucking, like, wrap up I can because we're coming. We have, like, maybe 15 minutes left, roughly, on the show. So, basically, you got super attractive ginger guy that's trying to come into New York from the UK. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got all these animals. The reason that he's coming to New York is because there are some pretty magical beasts that are roaming around there. He's been hearing about this. So he's like, I need to catch them. I need to save them. Okay. I need to catch them. I need to domesticate them a little bit and be able to take them back home where they belong. Okay. So basically what he's trying to get through customs, he gets to New York, he sees a couple things going on here. He's heard a couple things going on here. And then briefcases get switched at one point or another, which ends up leading him to the bank for some reason or another, okay?
The bank,
all he's trying to do is get his goddamn briefcase back, okay? And then you got some chick from, basically the Ministry of Magic for the United States.
Yeah.
You know, apparently there's different branches for every country. So the Ministry of Magic for the United States spots him, and she's like, you need to come with me. Kind of masquerading as an aura, which is not.
Uh-huh.
But she really isn't masquerading as one. She just really wants to be one. She's tried out so many times. She's put in her applications I don't know how many fucking times. She really wants to be an aura. Instead, she got put in the mailroom, degrading as fuck. Anyway.
I think she got downgraded.
She used to be an aura, and then she got downgraded to fucking mailroom. So she's trying to get her position back. And she's like, this is it. I'm going to turn this guy in. Okay? So he still hasn't gotten his briefcase back. So when she goes to turn this guy in, and then she's like, it's all in his briefcase. I seen it. I know what the fuck is up. Check him. Of course, the other R's fucking check him. Like, it's literally just a briefcase full of clothes. What the fuck? Because, of course, all magic is null and void when you come into the Ministry of Magic. So it's not like he has some charm going on because it wouldn't work.
Wait,
so
wasn't it the pastry?
It was pastries and whatever because that's what the guy in the bank was trying to do. The other guy in the bank was trying to open a pastry shop. Okay.
Yes, he brought samples in.
Yes. And so that didn't, you know, so basically they're seeing a bunch of pastries and they're like, what the fuck? Dude, go back to the fucking mailroom. Anyways. Long story short, all hell breaks loose. Hot ginger dude is trying to get everything together. Fucking get some animals. Really weird shit happens. Really fucking hilarious shit happens because hot ginger dude is running around with a fucking muggle who thinks he's like out of his fucking mind, but he's really not. He comes to understand the magic's the real thing. What the fuck ever. Bada bing, bada boom. The bad guy is an R and he gets fucked up and whatever. Anyways, it's a fucking trippy ass adventure and it's fucking great. Okay, and
absolutely.
You get to learn about magical animals on the way there. So I can only imagine that in the book it would go into more details about each and every animal and what they can do and why they're so fucking dangerous and why they can't just be roaming the fuck around.
And what's crazy is it's not even beasts we've heard of anywhere else. Like, this isn't even, like, they could even have almost, like, inspiration from another animal. Like, they are just their own creation all in their own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of them are really terrifying. But, anyways, Cursed Child is one that we are looking forward to. I know that there's talk about... you know, main production on it and putting it out on the big screen. And what I really want to do is read the book before it comes out on fucking big cinema, okay? And, you know, there we have another Fantastic Beast that's coming out in theater. So let's try to catch up on our literature and our busy fucking schedule. I know it's not going to happen, but I'm going to try.
Okay, you read one chapter, I'll read the next, Kylie read the next, and we'll all come back and cooperate. We'll have a meeting. We'll have a meeting.
But I want to know how I'm not going. It doesn't work that way. Anyways, did you ever figure out what fucking house you're in?
No, I didn't. I honestly, like, when I was reading, I did get to read the, like, the different descriptions, and honestly, I think I would end up in Raven.
No, you need to go, okay, if you want to find out what house you belong to on Harry Potter, okay, Hogwarts, go to Pottermore.com, do the Sorting Hat quiz, and you will find out what house you belong to. So, Lydia, we have like 10 minutes left. I will deal with the cat scratch fever. Go on Pottermore.com right now and let's find out. Right here, live on the air, let's find out what house you're in. Pottermore.com.
All
right.
I'm at Pottermore.com.
Okay.
I had a feeling that this was about to happen. So.
Yes, it was. I mean, you go, honey. You already know what the fuck
I
is
do.
That?
All right. So, and then I click on...
Should be like a sorting hat house or something. Yeah, sorting hat.
It's a sorting house quiz.
The sorting house. Where is the sorting house?
Scroll down.
Oh, the sorting hat.
There you go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we can watch these out loud and then read out loud what answer you picked.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So, let's see here. What is going to be... If this link will work properly. All right. The Sorting Hat by J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
It has lots of descriptions, lots of thoughts. There we go. Join your Hogwarts house. All right. What do we have here?
It's about to go down.
Here we go.
Oh, I have to join Pottermore.
Yes, you do.
Bear with me one
second. Yes, I'll be dealing.
You want to be a part of that shit anyway.
Do it.
Yes. Absolutely. I am. I'm doing it right now. I'm actually, putting in my birthday. All right. My name. Oh, this is quick and easy. I like this. All right.
I'm so excited.
I'm actually really excited.
I'm
going to
put my vote in for Slytherin.
Really?
Yes. Kylie, what do you think you voted?
Of what?
What house is Lydia going to be on?
Oh, so I feel like she will be either Slytherin or...
Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
And I'm really hoping that you're going to be a Ravenclaw, but I feel like you're going to be a Hufflepuff, so I'm thinking you're going to be a Slytherin or a Gryffindor.
My God, I am not going to be a Hufflepuff. If I'm a Hufflepuff, I'm going to die.
My husband's a Hufflepuff.
Oh, my goodness. All right, it says I have to confirm my email before I go to the sorting house.
Yeah, go confirm it real quick. It'll give you a link, and you click on it, and you
yeah,
do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
yeah.
I'm going as fast as this thing is going to let me go. All right, here we go. Activate my account.
Yes.
Verify my email.
This is making me so hot right now. I mean, excited.
View my profile page. Do-do-do-do-do. All right, join your Hogwarts house. Be sorted and discover your house. All right, here we go. Begin the experience. Oh, moon or stars? I would say stars.
Uh-oh. Okay,
If you could have any power, which would you choose? The power to read minds? The power of invisibility, the power of superhuman strength, the power to speak to animals, the power to change the past, the power to change your appearance at will. Ooh, that one's a hard one. I think that I would literally choose the power to speak to animals.
Oh, Hufflepuff. Okay.
Really? You think so?
Fourth limit. All right,
given
that's- that parcel.
Given the choice, would you rather invent a potion that would guarantee you love, glory, wisdom, or power? Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm.
Mm.
Oh. Hurry up.
I feel like probably power. You know what? Fuck it. Power. All right. I'll be consistent.
What do I do? What the fuck?
Which of the following do you find most difficult to deal with? Hunger, loneliness, boredom, being ignored. Probably
ooh,
being
I know which one Kylie picked.
Being ignored.
True.
It's probably that irritates me the fucking most, honestly.
Yes, girl. You speaking about
you were, if you were attending Hogwarts, which pet would you choose to take with you? Oh, geez. A tabby cat, a Siamese cat, a ginger cat, a black cat, a white cat, a tawny owl, screech owl, a brown owl, a snowy owl, a barn owl, almond toad, a natterjack toad, a dragon toad, a harlequin toad, a three-toed tree toad. Honestly?
You ain't picking a fucking toad. You're picking a cat. So which one?
A cat.
No, actually, I would pick probably the snowy owl, honestly, because I like that they can deliver, like, the messages and things in your mail, like, and they can pop out of nowhere, whereas a cat, I mean, if I were to hop into a car all of a sudden and my cat didn't follow me, I mean, the cat's kind of fucked for a minute. Whereas an owl is like, all right, I got it. I'm going to follow you. All right. One of your housemates has cheated in a Hogwarts exam by using a self-spelling quill. Now he has come to the top of class in charms, beating you into second place. Professor Flitwick is suspicious of what happened. He draws you to one side after his lesson and asks you whether or not your classmate used a forbidden quill. What do you do? Do I lie and say I don't know, but hope somebody else tells the truth? Do I tell him he should ask a classmate and reveal to your classmate that if he doesn't tell the truth, you will? Tell him the truth. Heck yes. You know what? I'm not going to read the next one. I'm going to tell him the truth. If he's prepared to win by cheating, he deserves to be found out. Then we both lose points. Fuck.
Oh,
man. All right. Oh, shit. Okay. So I'm going to tell him that he should ask the classmate, and I'm going to tell my classmate that if he doesn't tell the truth, I will. And hopefully the classmate will deal with it. Four boxes are placed before you. Which would you try and open? The small tortoiseshell box with gold, smoked creature, gleaming black box, silver key, mysterious rune, mark of Merlin. Ooh.
What?
A golden casket, a heat, both secret knowledge and unbearable temptation. Nah. a small pewter box, plain, I open only for the worthy. No, actually, I'm going to go with the gleaming jet box with a silver lock and key marked with a mysterious rune that I know to be the mark of Merlin.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's a really wild move.
Heads or tails? Heads. Oh, my goodness. Everybody was wrong. Everybody was wrong.
What?
What? What is it?
Hufflepuff.
What?
Hufflepuff?
You're just
what
the fuck?
I was not ready. I was not ready.
You know what? I'm not even shocked, though. Like, you're a Hufflepuff.
No.
Really? Okay. I'm irrelevant then. I got it. All right, cool.
No, you are not irrelevant. Hufflepuff is the one that's like, all right, I see that bullshit, but that's none of my fucking business. You know what? I'm going to sit my tea and
but
talk
I'm still
about
watching.
It.
Oh, we're going to talk about it anyway.
You know, I promise you that Hufflepuff has the best gossip, okay? You want to sit with these motherfuckers at the lunchroom, okay? They have the best gossip. They see everything. And they know everything, but they're like, all right, it's not my fucking business. You know what I'm saying? But
that's
just,
why
yeah,
I was a Hufflepuff.
But it's okay. It's all right.
I was actually really disappointed. I wasn't a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
I was disappointed, okay? Because for me, like, I'm like, you talking shit on my best friend? Bitch, I would fuck you up. Like, I don't even give a fuck. Like, she can't fight her battles, but I'll fight her for her. Like, I don't give a fuck.
Absolutely.
You know, so,
and that's me too. But that, you know, that's. That question wasn't there. And it didn't say if my friend cheated. It said a classmate. My answer probably would have been different if it said friend. But it just said classmate. So, fuck them.
Yeah, no. And I literally went by that. Classmate? Okay, classmate.
Yeah.
Hey, classmate. Hello. You fucking up. But, yeah. Okay. There we go. So, we got two Ravenclaws and a Hufflepuff. Holy shit. Lydia's a Hufflepuff. I was not expecting that. I was not ready for that. But, I mean, like, now that the results came out, I can see it.
Yeah.
That's absolutely crazy. I was not ready.
So, Kylie and I are in the same house. And you and Tyler are on the same house. Congratulations.
Oh, really? I didn't know Tyler was a Hufflepuff.
Tyler's a Hufflepuff.
He is.
Mm-hmm. Huh. There you go. Anyways, well, that concludes our show, ladies and gentlemen. It's been exciting right at the end.
Yes.
So, I'm your host, Iggy Matthews, and this has been an episode of Strictly Weekly. And with me, I have had Kylie Farron, my love.
Thank you for having me.
Yay! And I had Lydia White, my darling.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Always, and as always, I'm not going to say keep it real because that's for Saturday. This has been Full Reels. Bye, everybody. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Goodbye.